Tonight, James sleeps on his wife's feet. Mike plays with everybody's animals. And we try to break shit.
This is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And back at his side, along for the ride for the first time in a very long time, this is Couch Potato Mike. How have you been doing, sir?
Holy shit. Is this the first podcast you've been on this year?
It is. I haven't been on one since 2017.
Holy shit.
Fucked up, ain't it?
Yeah, that's, wow. You have not been on a podcast in a year. I haven't done a podcast in over a month, I think. Terribly sorry. Getting married is a lot of work, and
yes, our fearless leader is now a wedded servant.
Yes, I'm a respectable man, a legitimized man.
She made an honest man out of you.
Honest man. Did you ever see that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, I never watched. I've seen bits and pieces of it, hither and yon, because everybody else has seen it.
Right. I like that movie, actually.
I am a man of constant sorrows. Is that what it's about, getting married?
No. They talk about marriage at some point, though.
Oh, my God.
Screenshots. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah.
Why are you looking for screenshots?
I took one. I'm going to want to read in a moment.
Oh, yes.
I've got married, went on honeymoon. It was awesome. We went to Florida, met one of the listeners.
Actually, we have met several of the listeners since last time you heard from us.
So, to the wedding, a lot of our friends that we've met through the website, the podcast, came to my wedding. It was amazing. It was so great meeting all of you.
Yep. Shout outs to Scav LR Callow and his lovely wife Rebecca.
Right.
And Melanie Crow. I don't know if she listens to the show or not.
She does.
She does? Well, shout out to Melanie.
Melanie was awesome. I didn't get to talk to her as much. She kind of ran around and was like hiding in the background taking amazing pictures, by the way.
And we got to see her at the campsite a little bit later on, and she was playing damn near babysitter to everybody else's kids.
Right.
And she's got like the cutest little son. I mean, this kid was like born like oozing cute. I know, your wife almost ran off with him.
Give me that baby. Yeah.
Yeah, she really did. And shout out to Matt and Angela French.
Yeah.
Who drove all the way out from Oklahoma. That's the second time I've got to meet them. And he did show up wearing his kilt. Good job.
Oh, I got so many guys to wear kilts for the wedding. It was awesome.
And I got so many guys to lift them kilts and point their naked asses at you for a wedding photo.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I might put that in the show notes, actually.
Apparently, I have caught some flack from that.
Eh, whatever.
But, you know, get the fuck over it.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on the internet.
Hells yeah.
So, yeah.
I was one of them.
Yeah. I've seen the picture. I didn't study it too closely to see who was wearing underwear. Some people weren't. One person pulled the underwear into a thong crack.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mike, I think you pulled down your underwear.
Yeah, no, I dropped. I dropped trowel. Yeah. Well, not trowel. I wasn't wearing trowel. I was wearing a fucking skirt.
Man, kilts are awesome. It was so freeing and like relaxed. My mom kept getting on to me because like I was just plopping down and like sitting. She's like, "You don't know how to sit in a dress." I'm like, "This is a kilt, and I'll sit how I want to sit."
And you're gonna show your nuts.
Freedom.
Half the wedding party.
Yeah. So it was awesome. We had an amazing wedding. Went to Florida, met Will from the Survival Punks group, Will Parsons. Awesome.
Oh, also shout out to Jay Barrett. He is in the Punks.
Yeah, Jay showed up.
Dressed as a leprechaun.
Dressed as a leprechaun. It was awesome. we got married on St. Patrick's Day, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah, and shout out to Scav's dog, Scout, that we got to meet, both in and out of its vest.
Right.
Who's your good boy? Scout's your good boy. Yeah, hold this up to the dog. Scout! He's a good boy, isn't he?
Got to meet everyone. Got some amazing wedding gifts. Serenity, she was a little like, we keep getting wedding knives and wedding boy things. And I'm like, yeah. we did, though. We had an Amazon list, though, and we got some house things. We got an amazing toaster oven. I mean,
it's
an oven. You got me an iron. Serena's used that a bunch to iron Skylar's clothes for school. We got a washing machine, like a little portable washing machine. It works really well.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. It's pretty snazzy.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it was going to be one of those you had to hand crank.
No. Serenity, we had a hand crank one in the registry, and her friend got us the electric one that, I mean, it works good.
No, it's pretty dope. I mean, people were pretty generous.
Yeah.
It was
humbling and amazing.
Oh, yeah. And then you got to go to Florida.
Got to go to Florida. I'm a fairly big Harry Potter fan, which is I wanted to go to Universal Studios for the Harry Potter World stuff. Got to finally swim in the ocean. So that was one of the things I got to check off the list that I'd touched the ocean and I'd seen the ocean, but I'd never been in it really and swam because it was cold and weird. What?
You still haven't been. You've been in the Gulf.
No.
That's not the ocean.
I went to the ocean side.
Oh, you went to the ocean side? Oh, well, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, I was in the Gulf too, though. Well, I touched the Gulf. I didn't swim in it. but I think you're a hypocrite about the Gulf side. The Gulf side looks better for one.
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't look better. I'm just saying it's a Gulf. It's not the ocean.
Where does the water come from?
It flows in out of the ocean and out of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
But it's the Gulf.
But it's ocean water.
Okay, we're going to get into the whole fucking gold for barter thing here in a minute. So. Yeah.
It's ocean water.
No, but you got to stay in one of those little, what do you call it?
It's a cottage. A little
fucking cottage.
Yeah, on an island.
On an island.
Which Serenity loved.
What woman wouldn't want to stay in a cottage on their own island on their fucking honeymoon?
I enjoyed it.
You got hooked up like a stereo
system. But I really didn't
want to
go.
Because of so much further south.
It was a four hour drive past Orlando. Thus adding 8 hours drive, you know.
Yeah, a round trip.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it added 4 extra hours in the drive home, the drive home was miserable. I mean, we had a good time, but man, it was just forever.
And the funny, ironic coincidence is a week later, me and my wife and our kids were also in Florida.
Right.
That's just funny. Now I took the whole family down to Disney and Universal Studios, stayed in Kissimmee. Now we got to do the four main Disney parks, and we got to do both of the Universal parks, 6 theme parks in 6 days. Ironically enough, though, we did 1 park in 2 days and 2 parks in 1 day.
Yeah,
it's murder trying to do both Universal parks the same day. It's impossible. I mean, I don't know. Okay. Let me take that back. It's not impossible. It's impossible for the money that I paid to do everything in both parks in one day. I mean, if I'd paid the extra to get like the express passes and stuff for everything,
I don't think you could have really done everything.
It would have literally been running and doing the whole damn time.
Right. It would have been no enjoyment.
Yeah.
So we were there from open to close and didn't even make it to some parts of the park.
Yeah, no, same here. Same here. I mean, we were there from open to close. I never made it into Springfield on the Universal side.
Well, when we started out in Springfield, but we never made it to the Lost Continent, the Lost Island or whatever,
ran through that.
Yeah.
On the way from Seuss Landing to get to Hogwarts Express to take it back over to the other side. Because the Hogwarts Express, when you ride it, you have to ride it twice, going from the Universal side to the Islands of Adventure side and then back, because it's 2 different shows in both ways. Unfortunately, you didn't get to do both shows.
No, we chose to exit the park and run to the other entrance.
That's what happened to us the first time we went down there.
Yeah.
That is, I forget why, but no, this time I finally got to go into the Marvel Comics section, and I got to ride the Hulk roller coaster, which I'm a huge fan of roller coasters. Yeah. Love roller coasters, but that one had me intimidated in the line.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one point where I damn near backed out of it because I was just getting anxiety.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I'd already literally spent 5 days going on every kind of fucking ride you can think of, including every roller coaster Disney had to offer.
Right.
So I don't know why that was good. But, well, I looked at it, and you spend half the damn time upside down. But it was so much fucking fun. I mean, you wouldn't have liked it. You'd have Ralphed all over everybody.
No, I don't. I don't get queasy. I just don't enjoy them like that. But anyway.
No, but we had a fucking blast.
Yes, we did too.
Came home with our feet were sore for 4 days after we got home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's 6 days in a fucking row at theme parks. I mean, just
right.
Walking and standing and waiting. I mean, the fast passes can only do so much. You only get so many of them at a time. But there was a couple of times where we literally were in line for to ride a ride for an hour and a half. But no, I mean, hell, over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, one ride, Avatar Flight of Passage, literal 240-minute wait time the entire time we were in the park. 4 hours wait to ride a 4.5-minute ride.
Yeah, which no, I would have been interested in, but not the wait. I'm not interested.
No, I mean, if I could have fast-passed that motherfucker, I'd have been all over it like stink on Quim.
Right.
But, yeah, there was no fast-passes to be had. Those fast-passes run out real fucking quick. Because the ride's only just, that whole section of that park only opened last year.
Right.
So when we go back in 2 years, hopefully it'll be a lot, hopefully the interest will have died down some. It's still supposed to be a pretty kick-ass ride, though.
Right.
What killed me, though, because I watched videos of that ride and the other ride that's in the Pandora section of that park. And the other ride was just a slow boat ride to the Navi River Journey.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a slow boat ride, you know, with all these effects and stuff happening around you. And it had a 2 hour wait the whole damn time. And I couldn't understand that at all.
Yeah.
The other, I mean, the Flight of Passage ride, it looked like it was, it would have been a ride right up your fucking alley. It would have been, it was one of those fucking like 3D screen rides.
Right.
The
I like
kind
those.
That you liked. And it looked pretty damn dope, to be honest, but not 4 hours in line dope.
No.
No, just no.
And, Jordan the cat really missed me and was super excited when I got home.
Oh, he did. Me and Andrea, we were feeding him the whole time. And after a while, he just started hiding up in your loft and refused to come down for anything.
Yeah.
We had to try to coax him down with the cans of food. And every time we'd see him, we'd like, do you miss Daddy? He went, meow.
Yeah.
I mean, just the saddest little meows the whole damn time. Now, yeah. I imagine he was happy. He was tickled pink when you got home.
I got home and fed him and pet him and then got out the laser and we played the laser for a little bit and went to bed. And
he missed you. He missed the hell out of you.
Back to the show stuff.
Yep, back to the show stuff.
What do people do if they want to call and ask a question, which I don't know if we even have, like, there may be a backlog of questions to be answered.
Oh, you haven't checked it in a while?
No.
Well, if you'd like to ask us, the Survival Punks, something, anything, whatever, I don't care what it is, you just call 615-657-9104. That number again is 615-657-9104. Just call that number and leave a voicemail to get a hold of us once again. 615-657-9104. See, I found out if you repeat something three times, it makes people memorize it against their will.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I've said this number God knows how many times and still haven't memorized it yet.
Yeah.
If it wasn't on the board, I wouldn't have known it. Oh, and don't forget to rate us at iTunes.
Yeah, I'll have to get more stickers soon, but if you rate and review us on iTunes and send me an email with your address and the username you use, I'll verify it and send you a sticker when I have more stickers to send. I have like two I need to send out, which means I need to order some stickers to send them out.
And don't forget to hit on that Patreon link and give us money.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. I don't have any patrons yet. But it's good because I haven't put anything out in a while. So, I just want to read an email that I got from a listener.
Absolutely. Yeah, get on that shit.
Cal Wilson from Survival in Motion, which I'm going to check out.
Cal Wilson?
Yeah.
Is he an actual bovine?
No. I'm going to check out his podcast website to see if it's any good and recommend it.
Cal.
Yeah, so, James, am I missing something? Or have you stopped making podcasts for Survival Punk? Come on, man! Your podcasts have an edge to them. Kind of how I try to make my podcast at Survival in Motion. Edgy.
We're edgy.
If you're on vacation, let me know when you get back. And if not, let me encourage you to return to Survival Punk and tell Captain Mike to come back too!
Yay!
Well,
I was missed.
Cocktail Mike was told to come back. He did come back.
I'd be back right now. No, we've both been, I mean, life gets in the way of shit sometimes. It really does. And I like to, and you've recently, your whole work schedule switched around.
Right.
You got married and had a lot of planning to do. And just between this, that, and the other, and me liking to sleep in on the weekends, I mean, it was just, we kind of lost our podcasting way. We got off course, but me and you, we got to talking, hell, a couple of weeks ago, and we've decided we really want, both of us want to get back to the regular podcasting.
Right.
Involved.
I do the solo shows when I need to, but I don't really have fun with the solo shows. No. Like,
it's missing a little big something.
Yeah.
Like moi.
So we're going to try our damnedest to make sure that there is a podcast every week, as yep. there was, and the Catch It On Mic is on the majority of them.
Yes, I'm definitely going to try to be on most, if not all, of the podcasts.
All mo.
Yeah.
But what's the show about today?
I have no clue.
It is about using your survival gear.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to I read everything on your show notes except the title.
Except for the title.
Using your survival gear.
So, wedding night, me and Serenity camped out at the park with some of you guys.
Rocking it.
And so I'm a hammock camper. I had my Hennessy hammock, and there were some issues setting it up and using it. And I was like, I could make this a good show topic. We should talk about not just the hammock itself and the other gear, but just using your gear in general.
Oh my God, that was fucking hilarious. You and Scav and Matt and me were over there, and I would like to say we were all trying to help you, but I was sitting my fat ass down on a bench watching this because, I mean, I am Couch Potato Mike after
right,
all.
Right, right.
But and, you just liked to never got that fucking hammock up.
Right, yeah. I tried to implement a new hammock hanging system that I had bought that I hadn't really had a chance to use yet, to test out, and that's whoopee slings. So I really like whoopee slings in theory.
In theory.
But okay, so for one thing, I didn't pay the extra money, the slightly extra money, to get the special whoopee slings made for a Hennessy hammock. I was just going to be like, wing it and just sort of rig it up, which is mostly what. No, I didn't use the whoopee slings at all that night. I've used them on my Trek Light hammock.
And why didn't you use the whoopee slings that night?
Really, the only issue is
they wouldn't support your weight.
I forgot to bring a carabiner.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I didn't pack one carabiner that I needed, so I was missing one carabiner. Scav had some carabiners, but they weren't weight rated.
Yeah, they were so not we weight broke rated. They were like
two or three carabiners.
Oh my God!
Then you tried some paracord.
I mean, you'd get in that, you'd put up the carabiner, then you'd get in the hammock, then your ass would hit the fucking ground. Yeah. One carabiner, we never found it.
Yeah, no,
it just vanished.
I landed on my wrist one time, and one time a fragment of carabiner like slapped me in the skull. It was a hoot.
Oh my God. That was warping them all to hell and back.
Yeah.
I mean, see, and that's the problem. The carabiners, I mean, used to, at one point, all carabiners were weight bearing carabiners. That's what they were worth.
But then they just started making them for like keychains, and they're not.
People liked them, and so they just started making all these cheap ass ones to use as like belt clips and keychains and all this shit. And so it just flooded the market with shitty carabiners, with carabiner-looking clips.
Yeah.
Because
some of them don't even say carabiner. They just say, like, ring clip or, like, clip, or they just say generic random things.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're lucky, it'll have printed on one of those cheap ones somewhere that'll have etched in.
Not for weight.
Yeah, because they were all meant to be, originally, they were just all for, like, riggings, mountain climbing, shit like that.
Right, which is not going to snap like that.
No. No. So you demolished some fake ass carabiners that
night. Yeah. So.
And I was just sitting there laughing my ass off holding you know what? I was not completely helpless. I was not completely useless. I was holding a flashlight.
You are. Yeah. So. The first point that I have, which I broke for this, is don't just buy and keep. I mostly just bought those carabiners off of, I think it was eBay or Amazon or something.
You got them. And
I got
stored them.
Mostly, yeah. I tested them out with another. Well, I tested them out here, and I had the fucking carabiners. And I tested them out with my Trek Light hammock, which so you guys can't see, but Trek Light hammocks, they have like the rigging on them, and it goes to the rope, but they have like a little S hook on them. They have an S hook on the end of them. You see that, Mike?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
I actually use the S hook on the other end to just hook it onto the thing instead of clipping it.
Right. So that S hook goes through the loop on the whoopee sling, the non-moving loop.
Right.
Hennessy hammocks don't have an S loop, and it was massively trying to like rig it, and I'm gonna talk about rigging stuff later. But through not testing my gear and knowing how it worked and making sure that I had things to make it work, then yeah, it left me out there trying to
Yeah, it damn near turned your fucking sleeping your hammock and mosquito netting into a very thin sleeping bag.
Right. I mean, worst case scenario, I could have tied knots and hung it up that way.
Because
I had tree straps and ropes for that. So I would have just had to tie the knot. So no big deal. So much like in the Harry Potter Goblet of Fire book, survivalists are the same. When we get together, we have a tendency to show off.
Yep.
We wanted to bring out our best gear, our coolest gear. Check out this gear. I wanted to bring my whoopee slings and be like, well, this is how I hang my hammock. I put up my whoopee slings. Yeah. Not so much. Yeah. And my fancy Hennessy hammock. And what did I end up using? I ended up using the whoopee slings went out the way. Hennessy hammocks come with a fairly long rope on them.
Yeah.
And I think through a few knots and just the so I had enough carabiners to hang it traditionally. I had, I think, 3 carabiners, and to use the whoopee slings, I was going to have to use 4 carabiners. So backup plans. Even through my negligence here, and it would have behooved me to be more prepared, my favorite word.
Yeah, it really is.
So yeah, even then, I still had backup plans to make it work, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. We'll talk about some stuff later, but normally I always do that. Like Michael, no, if I get new survival gear, I'm like, Mike, I got this. Let's check it out. Like,
yeah, because we usually go make a fucking video or something.
Right? Yeah, like when I had the Life Straw, I'm like, let's go drink pond water. And you know, when I get new knives, we go out and we test the knives together, and we, yeah, so. I am not a fan at all of getting gear, leaving it in the package, throw it in your bug out bag, not knowing how it works, not knowing if it works.
But I can tell you this from personal experience and a lifetime of it. It's really easy to be lazy with shit like that.
Yeah.
That later.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll check that out later.
Where are you going, Jordan the Cat?
Jordan looks so funny climbing that ladder.
Yeah.
He looks like a little furry man.
Look at me, I'm a human. I'm walking on 2 legs.
And I missed this, Jordan completely derailing our fucking show.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe at the end of the show I'll get into it, but I just want to jump in here real quick and say, fuck you, Lowe's. I had a nightmare... A nightmare trouble with them.
Oh, wait. You still haven't got the thing yet.
No. I ordered a shed from Lowe's.com to be delivered via a truck.
It was supposed
to be a shed kit.
Yeah, it was supposed to be here while you were in Florida.
Well, no, originally it was supposed to be here the day after we got back. Then we had that extra day in Florida that kind of threw a monkey wrench in things.
It still is not here yet.
No. And then at one point I got emails saying that the money couldn't be processed and the order was canceled, which I didn't understand.
What the fuck?
And that was after it had been delayed once already and the truck had been broke down that they had to deliver it with. And then it was supposed to be scheduled to be delivered again. And then the money finally came out, almost a month later.
Oh, they hadn't taken the money out yet at that point?
The money had looked like it had come and gone.
Okay.
So like, I checked it, and the money was out of PayPal, and I'm like, okay, good. But then it showed back up in PayPal. What? And I got an email saying it was going to be scheduled to delivered 4 days ago. Never got a call, never heard anything about it, because I didn't even know that I got the email until I went in to find out why. That I got another email pop up, and it was like, the money's come out, your show be delivered. I'm like, what? I thought this thing was canceled forever ago because the money couldn't come out. And I called and they're like, yeah, it won't come out, whatever, we're just going to cancel the order. Or it wasn't canceled. And I was like, I'm done. I'm actually going to do a completely different option now. So refund my money. So now I'm waiting for my money to be refunded for the shed that's a month late in the first place. Fuck you, Lowe's.
Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even privy to the last half of that story. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm annoyed at Lowe's, even though I'm going to probably go spend money there at some point in the very near future, because I've got another thing I got to do to my bathtub before I can really call it finished, and that's the drain in the bottom of it is now it's sitting on top of the floor. So it works,
but
it won't drain completely. So I need to recess it into the wood, and I've been trying to figure out the easiest and best way to just sort of make a, like, I don't know, 1/16 of an inch depression, 4 inches wide-ish. And I've been thinking about this. Okay, so I found, like, a million solutions. Like, I've been like, oh, this will work, and I've been finding, like, basically, like with everything, I want to find the cheapest, easiest solution to the problem. And after much thinking of I could get a 4-inch Forstner bit, which will be like between $40 and $60, and be used basically just for that.
Yep.
I could get a Dremel with a router bit and route out the hole.
Couldn't you just rent it?
Maybe. I thought about looking at that. Maybe I can rent it. Maybe I can buy a router. To be honest, a router or a Dremel, I would use those. I mean, they would always come in use. I thought about getting a 4-inch hole saw. They're about $20 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, marking the depth I need with like tape on the outside, you know, hole sawing down to that depth and then using a chisel to sort of pop. Because if you look at plywood, it's laminated wood. So if you drill down to one of the laminations, it's pretty easy to pop out that piece. It's just glued on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really structurally met. It doesn't hold that well together when applied on a press. But it's kind of in a weird location where, like, getting a chisel in there and chiseling it out may be a little difficult. What I think I'm going to do, I think I may have came up with the cheapest, easiest, laziest, most genius solution of all time.
Butter knife.
Serenity, I don't think, understood the genius of it. She's like, that's crazy.
Okay.
So I'm going to get a 4-inch hole saw.
Okay.
I'm going to use the 4-inch hole saw to cut out a 4-inch piece of wood from a scrap piece of plywood.
Right.
And when you use the hole saw, of course, there's a drill bit in the middle. So it drills a hole through the piece of wood as a guide to guide the saw on the outside.
Right.
So you have a round, perfectly round piece of wood with a hole in the center.
Right.
I'm going to shove a bolt through that, screw it down, hot glue sandpaper on the outside of it, and then use the piece of scrap wood that I cut the hole out of as a template to put over the hole, to put the scrap piece of wood with the sandpaper on it, chuck it into my drill, and then sand down 1/8 of an inch.
That'll either be a brilliant solution or it won't work at all, but I look forward to seeing the outcome.
In my mind, that seems like it should work perfectly, if you can
attach the sandpaper to that piece of fucking wood good enough.
Hot glue over the entire surface.
I know, but you gotta think, spinning at that heat, the friction might cause the glue to heat back up. Sorry, that's my job. I play devil's advocate.
Yeah. Maybe through, like, taking it slow, though.
Yeah, you don't want to do too much at a time.
No. Because, yeah, I mean, really, I don't need to go that much anyway.
No.
I just need to recess it just a tiny bit. And I think that, so the Forstner bit would be the best solution if it worked. But they're not really good to, they're kind of hard to control, not in a drill press. Anyway, we're being, oh, shit. We'll figure it out.
Here we go, we're rambling.
Yeah.
Well, we're 28 minutes.
Yeah.
We're on the first thing.
Well, really, we've covered part of the second thing is test everything. And buy, just don't just buy it and keep it. So I don't just mean like give it a little test. I mean, a lot of gear, I kind of want to abuse it to make sure it's quality. Like, you know, like if it's going to break, I kind of want to know in testing.
Right.
You know, one time, famous story, I bought this Chinese knockoff Tonto K-Bar knife from the Bill Goodman's Gun and Knife Show in Nashville.
Call a buddy, bring a friend.
Yeah. So I bought one from there, and I was like, $25, that's a great deal for a real K-Bar. And then, like, later on, I noticed it said, like, made in China. I'm like, oh, you're a knockoff. So then I kind of made it my life's mission to break it.
Yeah, to destroy that knife.
And I went out there, like, digging in the dirt, you know, like, hitting rocks, batoning through, like, fucking trees. I mean, like, cutting down trees.
Abusing the hell out of this knife.
Yeah.
Which took everything you gave it and asked for seconds, please.
Yeah, not only did it not break,
it was awesome.
Stayed sharp. It kept an edge.
Not everything that comes out of China is a piece of shit, apparently.
Right. I mean, we're going to touch on that a little bit later, but
I mean, you can
abuse everything and test it.
I mean, occasionally you can find a pearl amongst swine.
Right.
That is... That is a, you know, best case scenario. That is the exception to the rule.
Right, yeah, because at $25, I really wasn't even like, K-Bar. If I had snapped it in half, I really wouldn't even feel sad. Marine knife.
Yeah, I know. I was about to say it's a Marine's best friend.
Right. So
the Punisher was talking about it on the Marvel show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was invented for the Marines. It's their knife.
No, yeah, that is straight up a Marine knife.
So, yeah, test everything. You know, and if you do end up breaking something, you have a good gauge of its quality.
Yep.
So you know that if you do, like...
You know how far it'll go.
You know how far it'll go, and you know that if you're doing something stupid, and us men, we do things stupid a lot.
Yeah.
A
man's actions left unchecked by a responsible woman can be very disastrous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, like... If you've done something way in a, like, if you take your knife and you baton it vertically, point in, and then bend it, trying to break out pieces of wood or split or something, and it doesn't break, you know you got lucky, and that's top motherfucking quality.
Yeah.
And if you do break it, you know you weren't supposed to do that.
Yep.
I mean.
You've learned a lesson.
Yeah.
One can learn more from their mistakes often than they can from their successes.
Right. And you know, if it was affordable and you broke it doing something inappropriate, you know that it is good up until that point of stupidity.
Yup.
Which I like, you know, like if you're going to spend like, you know, obviously $500 on a custom handmade knife, you really don't want to use it like a pry bar to like try to snap open padlocks.
No, you do not.
You know, but maybe if you spend like $40 on a knife, you know, like the K-Bar, like maybe, like it would have been not unreasonable to try to like snap a padlock with it or something.
I know you have this down at the bottom, but I think that it applies to what you're talking about right now.
I think we can move it up. Yeah. I think we can move it up because I put that at the end. I'm like, we should add that. So what is it saying?
It says to read reviews and watch reviews.
And you can find quite a few at monsterowlpunk.com, by the way.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Definitely, I've got to the point now when I buy anything on Amazon, I will always go look at the reviews unless it's something I bought before, you know, or random other cases. But if I'm buying something for the first time that I'm not super familiar with.
Especially if it's a semi or very pricey piece of equipment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I sort of almost mentally ignore the extremes of reviews. You know, the 5 stars and the 1 stars. I read them, but I tend to, like, so 5-star, you may have been paid to do that review. You may have been given the product for free. I have reviewed a few things on Amazon that I was given and put them as 5 stars, not because I was given them, but because I did feel the quality was fine. Like, I've reviewed things on Amazon and put them as, 4 and 3 stars, and I reviewed a book on there one time and gave it a 1-star.
Ouch.
It was a pile of shit. but yeah, you know, so you got to think a lot of those 5-star reviews are either fake or influenced by the fact that they were given the product.
A lot of people are paid. I mean, we'll make a pretty good living off of going on Amazon and just giving shit 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've actually read articles all about that.
Yeah,
or at least I thought about being one of those people. Yeah, yeah, because I mean, fuck it. If I can't be a solution, I might as well be paid to be part of the problem.
Right. And you got to think, a lot of the 1-star reviews are either one, asshole customers, or manufacturing has hiccups. Maybe they got just a bad one that slipped through. You know,
it happens.
You know, like there's things in place to prevent that from happening. But shit does happen.
Yeah.
Or they are an asshole that was just being stupid.
You know, one time, James and myself, we are avid disc golf players. We're not pros by any stretch of the imagination. We're recreational players, but we like playing disc golf. And while getting ready for a tournament, which was actually the last time that me and you went out and played disc golf, was that tournament. I knew that I needed a marker disc, which is a mini. It's a miniature disc. You don't actually throw them. You just place them on the ground, kind of like the way real golfers will put a chip by their ball or whatever to mark their fucking spot where they're going to be shooting for. Well, I ordered this online from a very reputable company, okay? They do a lot of business online. And I'm not going to say names because they actually... I mean, they did good by me, but I don't think they want to know, people to know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my disco, my mini showed up with blood all over it. That's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever had happen to anything that I've ever gotten off the fucking internet. It showed up with blood on it. I mean, it was unmistakably blood on it. And I messaged them, and I'm like, I want a refund. This disc showed up, and it had blood on it. And I sent them pictures. And they're like, oh, my God, we have no idea how this could have ever possibly happened. They refunded my money, sent me a free replacement, and gave me a credit to get anything else free from their store. And despite the fact that it had blood on it, that first one, which ended up getting thrown away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wound up getting a top-rated review from me on that because they owned up.
They made it right.
They sure as hell made it right. I mean, they gave me basically 3 times what I paid for. And then, I mean, well, think about it. I paid a certain amount and got that back, plus a replacement, plus a credit for that amount again. So
right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I would always... almost always try to resolve the issue with the company if it's something like that, like, you know, accidents, you know, or just little slips. If it's just a poor quality, then, you know, you do what you do. You know, you just leave a shitty review.
But seriously, I mean, they could have ended up with a very shitty review. I mean, because who wants to get anything in the mail that's got fucking blood on it?
Right. Me, I would have probably just, you know, picked up the bloody disc and then sprayed it down with, like, a clear coat and then just been like, I got a blood disc.
Of course you would.
You know, spray it in a layer of clear coat so you can't touch it, but
oh my God.
I think that would have actually been cool, actually.
You know, except for the whole DNA thing and hepatitis.
Yeah, but that wouldn't work for dried blood, and then when it's sealed under a clear coat of polyurethane, then...
Yeah, but I don't have a clear coat of poly. I don't have a way to clear coat shit with polyurethane.
My wife has clear coat hodgepodge or Mod Podge. That would have worked. Anyway.
Anyway, we're off topic.
Anyway, of
As
course we are.
As usual.
Yeah, so read and watch reviews. It's just, you know, it's just a good, like, YouTubers, especially if they buy it themselves or not. If they're, you can tell if they're sort of babying the product in their reviews.
Oh, yeah, that's real easy to spot. If you can see somebody Nancying their way through a test.
If I do actual, like, knife reviews, which I haven't done one in a while, you'll see me batoning. You'll see me using it. I'm being rough and tumble with it. And if it breaks on the review, then you'll know. I can be an asshole when it comes to reviews. So.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't hold back.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got a few things to review now. Have backups.
Oh, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite. I am a big fan of the backups. I would say have backups for your backups.
Right. I mean, the tried and true survival saying is one is none, two is one. That goes on from there. There's a whole bunch more, like three is fun, four is for me, five, whatever. I don't know all of them. But yeah, one is none, two is one. So
yeah, because if you have one and it breaks, you're left with nothing.
Right. like the carabiners in the hammock. So
yeah,
I did not have enough backups.
And you really don't want to break all your buddies' stuff either.
Right, no.
Especially after you just met them.
Right, right. Keep giving me carabiners to break. Scav, I need more.
Oh, my God. that was awesome.
Right. So, yeah. You know, and it's sort of a fine line when you're packing your bags, your kit, your bug out bags, of, you know, weight versus redundancy. You know, like, do you really need two bandanas? Maybe, maybe not. Do you need two knives? Do you need two lighters? Yes, you probably do.
I always say if you're a bandana kind of guy, bring at least two. You never know what happens. I mean, anything could happen to that first one.
I mean, okay, so yeah, bandanas are light, and having two bandanas makes sense because you can designate one as an ass rag.
Yep.
Ron Wood, you know, rest his soul, he was a big proponent of the ass rag. And, you know, generally make sure you, like, so, funny story. When we're, me and Scav are both hammock campers. We both don't like being on the ground. We both like the comfort of the hammock.
It killed me. He set up a tent just so his wife could change.
Right.
And then they slept in the hammock.
Yeah, because it's more comfortable. I mean, I thought about doing the same thing, actually. I thought buying a hammock for, like, changing clothes and storing gear and stuff. But
you mean a tent?
A tent, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're both hammock campers. And I mentioned, and Matt was there, too. Matt knew what I was talking about. I was, like, talking to him. I was like, well, one of the key things I always know about hammock camping is you kind of want to have a designated pee jug. Like, normally I would get, like, I used to have, like, a yellow Nalgene bottle, and I knew because it was the yellow Nalgene bottle, it's for pee only. And that's because when you get into a hammock and you're camping and you got to pee at, like, 3 a.m, getting out of the hammock, getting yourself out of the thing and walking off in the woods to pee, fucking pain in the ass. Obviously, if you're a man, this is different. And as soon as I said something about the pee bottle, Scav and Matt were like, yep, yep. And Freddy's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, it's a lot easier to just pee in the Nalgene bottle than it is, you know, especially if you're doing, like, cold weather camping. And it got pretty chilly that night. We stayed perfectly comfortable until we got up, like, at 4 a.m, which is exactly when I wanted to get up, to be honest. To get going to Florida.
Understandable. We got up very early.
And it was chilly, but yeah. So yeah, the pee bottle. So yeah, backups. It's sort of a balancing act of finding, you know, not carrying a 100-pound pack, but carrying the gear you need with reliable backups to that gear. And
yeah.
So the backups don't have to be like, the same quality. Like, say you have, like, a Buck Hoodlum big knife and you have, $12 Mora knife, which is good quality, actually, mm-hmm. you know, as a backup. If you snap your Buck Hoodlum, you still have a knife. It's not a whole lot. It's not as big. It won't do all the same things, but you have a knife. You know, I carry a fire starter, matches, big lighters, sometimes I carry a friend's. I carry multiple ways to do stuff, and a lot of times I'll carry alternatives. So, you know, like not the same. I don't carry, like, you know, a pack of 30 lighters. I'll carry lighters and matches and different things and different fuel starters. So,
you know, that reminds me of one of my favorite moments on Man, Woman, Wild.
Yeah,
that show with Mike Hawk and Ruth England, his wife. He was making a fire on one episode. And it's several episodes into the season, and you'd seen him use various methods of making a fire because it's a TV show. They got to keep it interesting. And Ruth asked him point blank. She's like, what's your favorite method of making fire? He's like, the lighter method.
Yeah. That was almost right. Like, Mike Hawk always talked with, like, the Christian Bale, like, Batman voice.
The,
like,
lighter method.
The lighter method. I'm the survivalist Gotham needs.
Yeah, but I loved that answer because, well, it was honest.
Yeah.
I mean, the easiest way to make a fucking fire is with a lighter.
I think if they're being honest, the majority of survivalists, when asked their favorite way to make a fire, will say the lighter. I mean, backup, alternative.
Oh, I like using a bow drill.
Yeah, no.
Nobody likes using a bow drill. You use a bow drill because you don't have any other way to do it.
Or back to point number one. When we get together, we like to show off.
Very true.
So, yeah.
I can just imagine the punks sitting around with their fucking, who can make the fucking fire the fastest with a bow drill.
Right. When we were camping, Matt used his flare to start our campfire, so.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did. He used the fucking flare to start the campfire.
Yeah.
Which is another rapid way, a successful way of starting a fucking fire.
I thought we weren't going to have enough on the list, but we better get moving.
Dude, you keep underestimating our ability to fucking chase rabbits.
Right. If it can break, it will break. Murphy's Law is tantamount in survival.
And it is not to be underestimated.
Right, right. So those carabiners could break, and they did break.
They sure as hell did.
So, yeah.
Hilarious fashion.
Yeah. That drives home why you need to have backups, why you need to have redundancies, because your gear, you may have tested your gear.
Yep.
And it may have worked fine.
Yep.
But when you need it, Murphy's going to come and be like, fuck you, motherfucker. And it'll break.
How many knives did you bring? Oh, I have one, but it's awesome. It's never failed.
Snap.
Me.
Yeah. You know?
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Only God, not even God himself could sink the Titanic.
Right. So, yeah. Who has not noticed things tend to go wrong when you really don't want them to go wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're like, you're sitting there perfectly prepared at home with every single one of your preps, and you're like, I don't give a damn if something goes wrong right now. I've got all of my preps and 5,000 redundancies. Nothing will break.
No.
You're out in the woods with one knife and not even a big lighter, but that really, really cheap, clear, translucent lighter you got from the Dollar Tree for less than a dollar.
Yeah, the 69-cent one you picked up is a fucking impulse buy.
Yeah, yeah. You go to click it, the jet fuel flames up into the air high enough to single Martians and uses all of its fuel in one go, and you got nothing.
Either that, or you click it, the little wheel pops off,
yes.
Spring goes out, which carried the fucking flint with it. Now you got a thing of fuel with no way to spark it.
Yeah, I've had that happen before. With those, I love those cheap lighters, but I have flicked them before and had the entire top assembly just fly off. Nothing left.
Or you have it in your pocket with your keys or whatever. It's something that's constantly pressed to that button, emptying out all of your fucking fuel.
Right. Or they just don't work. I've got one, I think, on the table over there that's one of those clear translucent ones. And I've looked at it, or maybe it's in the back seat. I've got one somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Around here recently that has all it's almost completely full of fuel, but it just simply won't work.
No, that's your good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it. Here's your cigarettes, though.
Yeah, my cigarettes. My wife's. She'll probably freak out because I don't think she wants the world to know she smokes. But anyway, she's quitting and, like, soon she's on Chantix.
I'm trying to quit. I'm on Chantix.
Yeah. And I'll be glad when she's off Chantix, because
she's going to hate me when she hears this.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
So it... just keep that in mind. If you don't have backups, it will break.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Shelter size. This is just... maybe not so much gear testing, but this is why you should test your gear and test it for how you intend to use it.
Yep.
To go camping that night at the after the wedding, we were going to use my Hennessy hammock that I have took on like long camping trips. Like I've lived out of that hammock for weeks.
By yourself?
By myself. I never
knew where you were going with this shit.
Never gone camping with anyone else in my hammock, and this is the first time me and Serenity were going.
We'll be happy to know that,
right? And she was like, "We'll just snuggle next to each other and lay in it." And my mind was going, "That's not going to work." Actually, I know that it's not going to work that way because I know how you're supposed to sleep two people in a hammock, especially.
How do you sleep two people in a hammock? What is the correct positioning?
I'm going to tell you in just a second.
Okay.
They're definitely like my Trek light, the one I use in my living room for couch, basically.
Yeah.
it is made to be a two-person hammock.
Yeah, I've seen you and Serenity snuggled up in that a lot.
Right. It's super wide. I get it just because I like the extra. It's 6 foot wide.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I could literally sleep in it sideways.
Yeah, like, it's pretty completely much your couch forever.
Right. I even had it hung up in my apartment for a while.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I knew
same hammock,
one
yeah.
Hung up in your apartment. I just didn't realize it was that one.
Big fat attract light.
That has been a damn good hammock for you.
Yeah, and it wasn't given to me. Like, I got a discount because I hit up the vice president, owner of the company. He gave me a discount and I bought it.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, she was like, we'll just sit that way. And I'm going, that's not going to work, especially in this hammock that's not a specific two-person hammock. But there is a way to sleep two people in a hammock. If it even is close to having enough room, and that's you sleep opposite end. So one person head to foot, basically. If you think about it, if you sleep shoulder to shoulder, that's like what 5-6 foot span right there, and
you form a V.
Yeah, it doesn't really
because you're narrow at the foot end.
Right, it's all that wasted room down there. And we couldn't even zip up the hammock because it has a built-in fly net on it and zip it up. It was just terrible. The wind was coming in. And I got up. I repositioned some things around a bit. I zipped it up. And then I went to, you know, head to foot, basically. I put my feet down by her head, put my head down by her feet. And that way you have a real slender profile there.
Oh, God.
And it takes up less room.
By her 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless her. She had just gotten a tattoo. And
I kept snuggling on it all night and, like, irritating it, but it was super. Like, I used her feet as a pillow, basically.
She said her foot was like a ham at one point.
Yes. It swole up, like, at Orlando Studios. Her foot swole up like a damn ham. It was super fat.
Yeah, I felt bad for her.
So, yeah. Make sure you find this out before you need to go. If you're bugging out, if an emergency happens, you bug out, you have to use your bug out shelter. You've never tested it to make sure that it fits the number of people you have in your party. You know, if you've got a 4-people tent and you're bugging out with 4 people, you know, you, your spouse, your 2 kids or whatever, and you've never actually tested to make sure that that tent actually does accommodate all 4 of you people, because sometimes people lie. It's called marketing.
Yeah, that can lead to either a very hilarious or very pissy, irritating night.
Right. You may literally not fit in there. You know, maybe they judge their 4 people by 4 tiny little Chinese people.
Which
and
is
not
very
like
well,
4 American people.
Which I swear to God is what they do the vast majority of time on shit like that.
Right. I mean,
this car can comfortably seat 12. Bullshit.
Right. I mean,
not 12 Americans, it can't.
Right. I mean, the only hammock that I, the only tent that I have is that one. I have a Eureka I have a Eureka 1-person tent. It's what my stepson Skyler is using as a room right now, and it's literally just it's slightly bigger than a bivy, but definitely smaller than a tent, most tents. So it's tiny. You know, you could fit 2 small children in it.
Yeah,
I mean, they'd have to basically be snuggled up, you know, but
you couldn't fit 2 of my kids in there. Well, maybe my daughter and my youngest son.
Right.
Because they end up sleeping in each other's beds constantly.
Right.
They always have. They're
right.
Very, very close.
I mean,
you couldn't fit any of my other kids, no. They hate each other.
Possibly even using the head-to-foot method, you might be able to get 2 kids in there. Because once
again,
it seems
like it's skinnier on the one end.
Well, it's not quite set up perfectly, but...
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, one, it does taper back. It's sort of trapezoidal.
Ah, okay.
You know, it's supposed to be for one person, so... Don't always trust the marketing on your shelter.
No.
Test that shit.
Right. Test that shit in a comfortable place.
Backyard. Yeah. Throw the tent in the backyard. Go give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Proper packing. We're coming up on the end of the show. Awesome. And we just about covered everything. So proper packing. This, I felt that this needed to go in the testing because you need to test the way that you pack your bags.
Yep.
Some people might be thinking, well, why'd you want to do that? You really want the things you're going to use more often, you know, depending on how your bug out bag is. You have like an Alice pack, which is a large pouch. You need to be able to, there's no way to access the things on the bottom without removing the things on the top.
Yep.
My bug out bag is a large zipper style, so it zips kind of open flat like luggage. Mm-hmm. So I could pretty much get to everything in that.
That's a good thing.
But, you know, you still want to have it organized that you're not digging around, you know, and come up with a system that works good for you and stick with that. So
and it might sound a little nerdy or even anal fucking retentive. Make a diagram if it helps.
Whatever you need to do. You could have a, like, yeah, draw a diagram and have it in a easy to get place that you're like, oh, this is actually, that makes a brilliant idea. If you're incapacitated somehow, having a diagram so that someone else can get in your pack and find out where your shit is at.
Yeah. They know exactly where to go, what pocket, where the fuck. And plus, I mean, I would say, you know what? Pack your stuff. Unpack your stuff. Repack your stuff. Do that a few times. And always pack, you know, just to get the feel of it. And plus, put shit in the same places every single fucking time.
Yeah. Like, I have sort of dedicated places where I'm like, so in the bottom of my pack, I usually will put my sleeping bag. Generally, or sleeping bag, depends. If I'm carrying my ultralight small sleeping bag, I'll put it in the bottom of my pack. If I'm carrying my winter sleep system, it actually gets strapped to the outside of the pack. So that doesn't really apply there. But like tarps and stuff like that, things that generally tend to go up last, I put further down. If I have my food sack in my bug out bag, that generally tends to go about on the top. If it goes further down, then I have like a Cliff Bar or a Laura Bar, like somewhere on the outside for easy access so I can keep going without stopping.
Right.
Water and stuff like that always goes on the outside for quick access.
Right next to the two trailer girls.
Right. Fire making stuff, I tend to keep that on the top. Like when you set up camp, you kind of want to start your fire pretty early.
You want to start your fire first. You want to have the fire, get the fire going, and then you fucking get the other shit going.
Right. So that's the way I do it.
Fire equals
protection. Find what works best for you and streamline it.
Yep.
And we talked about how going cheap is usually bad. You usually want to get the best quality gear you can get for the money that you have to get it. You'll have flukes. You'll have rare exceptions where you buy cheap gear and it's fucking amazing.
Like that fucking Chinese K-bar.
Like that Chinese K-bar. Other times you'll buy cheap shit and it'll be cheap shit.
There's the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Right. So that's another you go back, you watch reviews, and you spend the most amount of money that you can spend. Like I've said before, though, I like to find that sweet spot, like that best bang for your buck. Like, I don't necessarily want to go the cheapest always. And we've talked about before, like, there's some things you go the cheapest on. There's some things you, like toilet paper. I don't ever buy the cheapest anymore. I usually buy the second cheapest.
Yeah, the second cheapest is the way to go with toilet paper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need, like, the top of the line, like, you know, snobby ass wipe. It's going to be composted. It's going to be trash. I don't give a shit. I don't buy the most expensive trash bags ever, but I don't buy the cheapest ones anymore.
No.
I find that happy middle ground. You know, and with a good quality knife, you know, I don't necessarily need, want, I want, but I don't need, you know, like a several hundred dollar custom handmade knife. Want it. Don't need it. I can get good enough on my Buck Hoodlum was probably a $200 knife, and it has a lifetime warranty, and I love that knife, and it's great, so I don't regret that at all. I had the money, I bought it, and it hasn't broke, and it's still pretty sharp, so, you know, but my $25 K-bar worked great. So, like I said, you find that sweet spot, and you buy the best quality for, and trust me, I watched so many reviews and read reviews on the Buck Hoodlum. I knew what I was getting into, and I'm happy with it. I want to finish up on used gear. So that's a good way that you can get better quality for cheaper. Mm-hmm. You know, someone bought it, and they regret it. They don't need it. They bought something better. So they secondhand it, and you can get a good deal on it. So,
oh, yeah.
One of the options that me and Serenity are thinking about for that damn tub project was going to a pawn shop and getting a router for like $30. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my angle grinder for about $30, and that thing is a hoss.
And you damn near always find tools, good working tools in pawn shops.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people hit hard times where they need crack and they sell their tools.
Pretty much.
And, or tools are one of those things that's stolen a lot, and kind of iffy about that. Like, I really wouldn't want to buy a tool if I knew it was stolen. Maybe. Part of me would be maybe a little perturbed, but, you know, unless it's an M1 Garand. No, that would piss me. I've had that happen. I went to the pawn shop before when I was a little kid and saw my Sega Genesis games with my initials on them, and I'm like, God damn it. And there's really not a whole lot you can do about it.
Ugh.
So, yeah, used gear. Army Surplus, great used gear to be found there, and some new gear. And eBay trading sites, barter sites. Like, one of the things I keep wanting to do with Survival Punk is, like, have a, I don't know, weekly or monthly, like, trading blanket. And trading blankets I've done before at some things, and they're awesome. It's, like, basically, like, what you do is, like, you put down something. Like, I've got this quick open pocket knife, and then someone's, like, the next person in line's like, well, I got this, I'll trade you for that. And then, like, you see all the offers, and you're like, well, I'll take that thing there. And then the next person puts down their item. It seems like something fun we could do. I kind of meant to do it for the wedding, but time constraints and craziness and whatnot, but didn't have time for it. And so I think we're in the list. I'm kind of trying to rush things because I have a poop a-brewing. I've actually paused the podcast before to go take a poop. When I'm doing solo shows, I'm like, all right, on that note, I'll be right back in a second.
That's funny because I also have a poop a-brewing.
All right. And on that bombshell,
it is time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett,
and
husband of Serenity Burnett.
And remember,
Serenity Moonbeam Burnett.
Yeah, huh. And remember, if you have sharp objects, play with them. Play with them often. Play with them a lot. And try to break them.
DIY to break your gear, use guys.
Use guys.